Praise Yahweh, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. Got a late call here on the East Coast. Hope that you're listening somewhere down the line in the Central Time Zones and the Western Time Zones, the Mountain Time Zones, and the Pacific, and so on and so forth. Praise Yahweh. Glad to have you in here. Got a great program. Part two of partaking of the second Passover. We're going to get right into the Word. Again, we're going to give you the schedule for our Passover. It will begin on May the 27th of the evening, where we will gather for foot washing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, foot washing was not a part of the meal of the first day of unleavened bread, called the Passover meal. That was not eaten on Passover either. It was eaten on the 15th day. I want to get that clear because some people just don't understand. They sequence it and then they add things, and then to piece the puzzle together, they force pieces of the puzzle into the picture where they shouldn't force these issues here. We're going to begin in the 13th chapter of the book of St. John, and we're going to look at the meal that he ate on the evening of the 13th when they gathered, and it turned into the 14th day, his last day alive upon the planet before he was nailed to the torture stake. Now, some people think he ate the Passover meal before he was killed. And if you look at the idiocy of that statement, and knowing that Yahweh was perfect and that he did not break his own law, that he was the Passover, but he couldn't have been the Passover before Passover. He couldn't have ate the meal before Passover, or he would have violated his own law, which the law says that you kill the lamb on the 14th day in the evening. We know exactly what time he died as a type and a shadow, and he fulfilled the royal law. The 13th chapter is strictly a preparation meal where they gathered for their last meal of leavened bread, not unleavened. The Passover meal was always eaten on the 15th day. I want you to remember that. I don't know why people can't understand this. Preachers, get up. Some of these preachers I've known for 25 years. And they get up blind. They're good men. But there's no place for good men in the kingdom. The only place for you to in the kingdom is be right, not good. You can be good. I might like you. I might associate with you in some things. But when you get wrong, you're just wrong. And there's nothing you can do about it except repent. And repentance means correcting your mistakes. Verse 1, I'm going to read the whole chapter here to show you the sequence. Now, those of you who think that he ate a meal here and it was the Passover unleavened bread meal, that you're trying to say that he ate before he died and that he ate his Passover meal early, I think you need to reevaluate. Of course, that's your only way out to prove that he ate an early meal, because we find in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew and other places, we can read 2 to 3 scriptures on this if we need to, and we might, and we might not. But here's the scripture. I read it last night. I'll repeat it here again in Matthew chapter 26. Verses 1 and 2 and 3. And now the feast of the Passover drew nigh, and 2 days before the Passover. Now 2 days. Then assembled together, verse 3, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. and consulted that they might take him by subtlety and kill him. But, verse 5, again, they said, not on the feast day. Now, what feast day was they talking about? The end of the feast? Or was they talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread? That's the feast. There is no feast of Passover, except it began on the evening of the 15th. Well, we know by scriptures, anybody that's ever read the Bible knows that he died on the 14th. And yet we've got these people that are trying to place a piece of the puzzle and force it in there and don't fit. And we can't understand why that they want to do this other than pride. And pride goes before a fall. And those who resist shall be cut off, and that without remedy. And it might come in a day that you think not. And you boast in pride, and you lift up your heel against a brother that's been good to you and loves you and appreciates you and tries to help you. And then like a snake, or a copperhead. You see, a rattlesnake will warn you. But these copperheads will lay hidden until they get a chance, and then they'll strike. And that's exactly what the devil is. He's nothing but a snake. And he dwells in flesh bodies, too. And I want you to know that. Now, again, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. They decided here not to kill him in the first Passover, ladies and gentlemen. Because they were talking about their Passover. Now, they said, let's don't kill him. Well, we know they killed him. But the question is, which Passover did they kill him on? Well, it's clear that they didn't kill him on this one, because in the 17th verse, they went ahead and had their Passover. If you want to read the whole thing, and I ain't got time to go into it, and I hope that you will. I'm hitting the highlights here. Look at the caption here of Matthew 26. Right above in my King James Bible, it says, Jesus eats the Passover with his disciples. Mark 14:12 and 21, Luke 22:7 and 14, and 21 and 23, John 13 and 21. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going over to John 13 and 21 and see if he ate the Passover. Now, how could he eat the Passover and be the Passover? Somebody need to help me here. Give me something here. Well, he ate an early Passover. Well, if he did, he broke his own law. If he slipped off and ate a meal by himself, just so he could get his belly full before they killed him. Ladies and gentlemen, that ain't what he done. He was sitting with his disciples the night he was betrayed. And then he died the next day on the 14th. Everybody in their right mind could understand this, if they would get in the right mind. But these people that want so bad to deny that he was still alive on the Passover day of the Jews' Passover, that they decided not to kill him here, it's very evident. It says so. And in the 17th verse, now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Well, that word first,
I got a discourse on that from a brother that I love dearly. He gave me a discourse on that. Don't make a bit of sense, and he knows it. He knows that. He's just trying to stretch it out here and deny that the Savior here died on the 14th day. And he would have never broke his own law and ate on the night of the 14th, which is what happened here in John 13 and 1. It was the last day. You see, the day of the 14th was a day of leavened bread. They worked. But at dark, on the evening of the 14th day, when the high Sabbath drew on, which was the 15th, which was a full moon, and they go to their calendar and they prove this. They use the calendar and then use it against themselves. They won't debate me on this on radio because, for some reason, because they have to scratch and dig to force this piece into the puzzle, and I won't let them. You can't get around this, ladies and gentlemen. He had to die in the second Passover. He had to be declared unclean. In the 26th chapter here of the book of Matthew, where I'm at, in the 6th verse, It says, now the Messiah was in Bethany. That's right outside the Jerusalem where he had came in on the 10th day, by the way, and was hanging around close. He was in the house of Simon the leper. Now, that's just cause to brand him unclean because he was in the presence of a leper. And all of his disciples were having a meal with this leper. Unheard of in the Sanhedrin. You think the high priest and the Pharisees and the scribes, you think they would have been at that meal? I don't think so. They avoided lepers like a plague. The Messiah wasn't afraid of lepers. He touched a leper. He healed many lepers. He healed 10. And only one came back to give him the praise and the honor for healing lepers. Well, here, right before, in verse 17, where it says he eat the Passover, which he didn't. This is the people in the King James. They just put that caption in there because that's all he could do. But they didn't realize that he can't eat the Passover and be the Passover to die on the 14th day because the meal was eaten on the first day of unleavened bread, and anybody knows that.
Well, that word first could have been something else, glory to God.
It says unleavened bread. What day would that be? Anybody would have to acknowledge that the first day of unleavened bread was on the 15th day. I believe they would. Unless they want to stretch and ramble around here and deny and kick at the pricks. This doctrine of the second Passover will tear you up. You first Passover keepers, which I ain't done nothing against. If you want to keep the first Passover, go ahead. You don't have no revelation. It's your prerogative. Go ahead and keep it. But the Messiah didn't die on it, and we do it in remembrance of him and the death. And so if you got any understanding, you would do it on the time that it was appointed him. He was in the house of Simon the leper. And right before that, as I read you over here in the 11th chapter, let's get over here in the 11th chapter. And we know that the Messiah raised Lazarus. Because in the 55th verse, it said, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. Right when he raised him, it said, the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. Now, would that have been a just cause to brand him unclean? Or touching a dead body? Well, I would think so. Again, Numbers chapter 9 is the gestalt foundation of my message here tonight. That for those in a far journey, well, we're not in a far journey, Lord our God. And then they'll use the scripture that a preacher man even emailed me and said that Israel was already in a far journey before Moses led them out of Egypt. Now, how could that be? They didn't depart till 721 B.C., till they were turned out long after Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, you better get your ducks in a row here, and you better have some explanation if you want to wrestle against these scriptures. I don't know why you're taking issue with me on some of these things that I'm preaching here, but I'm proving them right here. I'm proving it right here that he raised Lazarus from the dead right before the Jews' Passover, which would have automatically, if they wanted to, technically, they had a right to say he was unclean because he touched a dead body. Numbers chapter 9. And that's what they done. They didn't want to kill him on their first Passover, and so they branded him unclean. And here in the 17th verse of Matthew 26, he's talking on the first day of unleavened bread. Well, let's give everybody the benefit of the doubt and say it was on the 14th day. Well, ain't he supposed to die on that day? Whether it was the day of, the Bible says it was the first day of unleavened bread. Now, I'm sticking with that. But let's give them the benefit of the doubt that it wasn't the first day of unleavened bread. It was the 14th day. And he slipped over there the night before and ate an early Passover, and he died on the 14th day. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Did he type perfectly the Passover in the sequence of events did he die on the very day at the very hour that it was prophesied he would die? They even numbered his weight and worth in silver. Now, before the let's go to the 13th chapter. While I'll spend my time tonight reading, I would just like to read practically the whole chapter to show you the sequence and prove to you that this was not, because it says before the feast of the, verse 1, before the feast of the Passover. Now, the feast of the Passover is on the 15th day, the feast of the Passover, ladies and gentlemen. The Passover day was on the 14th, but the feast was on the 15th. Anybody's going to acknowledge that. That's got any knowledge in the Bible. And that's what we're preaching here. He did not die out of a sequence. He did not eat an early Passover. No scripture, nowhere to confirm it. Right here is the time that he met with his disciples, and it says it was at supper time. Well, nowhere in the Bible does it say that the Feast of Unleavened Bread was at supper time, although it was. It was after dark, beginning of the high Sabbath, the 15th, the full moon. And all you lunar calendar worshipers, some of these people that have taken me to task on this are lunar calendar people, and they deny their own calendar. They make a mockery of their own dates that they set, that the 15th day is the day of the festival of unleavened bread, the first day of it. It begins on the night of the 15th, where the end of the 14th ended at the time he was taken down before the day of the Sabbath drew on. And they prepared a place to lay him. He was dead and in the grave when they say he's here in the 13th chapter eating the Passover. See, it's a piece of the puzzle that just won't fit. I don't know what's wrong with people. Man, I'm talking about people who studied the Bible for 35 or 40 years. And they're still blind. Just to keep their tradition, just to have it their way. Just to do it their way. And you keep kicking against the pricks and you're going to run into a rock wall. And it could hurt your head. You could get hurt. When Yahweh gets tired of your unbelief and your denial of his word, after you are corrected, you know, I'm not going to make an issue and fall out with my brothers over this or sisters like I have told them before. You can keep the first Passover if you'd like. I'm not going to badmouth you. I never have. I never do. I preach the second Passover, and boy, they just throw everything that they can out of the kitchen sink of their, the 23rd chapter of their imagination, they throw it. But let me tell you something. If you got the armor on and you got the word to back you up, stand still. And you'll see the salvation. You'll see what Yahweh does to these unbelievers. I don't worry about them. Just push them over to the side and watch. If you prosper, then Yahweh's word is worth nothing. If you're chastised, that means you're one of his disciples. If you ain't, that means you never was. And the supper being ended. Now, let me get back up here to the third. I need to read the whole first verse. Before the feast of the Passover. Again, the feast of the Passover, ladies and gentlemen, which it was basically called the Passover. I'm keeping Passover. Well, when you keep Passover, you keep the first meal on the 15th day, or you violate Yahweh's law. If you say he ate an early one, and he ate it on the 14th, he's violating his own law, and his word's no good. If he's not the type and shadow that he said he was in the gospel, and he was a perfect sacrifice, it's just that he pulled something out of the hatch here, knowing that the Jews who feared him would not kill him in their Passover. But he died on the second Passover. That's the only time he could die on the Passover. They was 130 days later exactly. They knew that. So they branded him unclean. They had two reasons here that I just give you. One in the 26th chapter and the 6th verse, and one in the 11th chapter of John here, right before, 6 days before the Passover, when he's dealing with Lazarus. And he raised him from the dead. You know, he touched him. You know, Lazarus hugged everybody down there. I would have hugged him if I'd have been there. Even if he was a dead body. They acknowledged him that he was dead. They'd give him a death certificate from the Sanhedrin. And here's the mark. This is why they wanted to kill him, because when he raised Lazarus, everybody knew he was dead, including the Jews who were there present when he raised him. And they run back to the temple and said, "Man, you better do something with this cat. This man is raising the dead. We were there and seen it with our and the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priest and the elders feared." As his popularity grew, they said, "We've got to do something about this guy. We've got to kill him, but not on our feast." That meant the first Passover. Anybody's going to deny that. They said, "We're not going to kill him on our Passover." They acknowledged that, but these people won't acknowledge that. They say he ate early Passover and then jumped on the torture stake and died. Well, we'll see if he did. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when the Messiah knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, that was his disciples, he loved them to the end, and supper being ended. Now, I'll say nothing about the Passover here. It wasn't the Passover, ladies and gentlemen. It was the preparation meal before Passover. They were searching their house with the candles. They were getting out the leaven. And they were taking it out. Praise Yahweh. And they were removing it. And this is what it types, because there sat Judas, full of leaven, full of envy, full of deceit, wanting to kill the Messiah, wanting to turn state's evidence against him. Boy, I've got some brothers who'd like to see me pass on. Boy, that'd be the happiest day. They would rejoice, and probably they would dance around like a casket if I passed on. But I ain't going to pass on until my time comes. And some people can pass on before their time comes if they keep on keeping on. Kicking against the word. You shall be cut off, and that without remedy. Praise Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. The word of Yahweh will stop every mouth. All you've got to do is know where the scriptures are at. And then you can have access to the Father, who is the firstborn among all creatures, praise Yahweh. And he laid down his life on the 14th day. And he did not eat the Passover meal. He said he desired to eat it. But he said, "I'll eat it new with you in the kingdom." There's going to be a day coming that I'll get to sit down with him in the kingdom. And so will you, if you are fortunate enough to get there. Praise Yahweh. And you strive to enter in. And you will not get in there denying the word. You'll only get there by keeping the commandments and looking at the word as it is. Here it is again. Supper being ended, the devil, you know, the devil's there at the supper. Well, wasn't the feast of Passover for the children where the devil was excluded? They had circumcision checks. They had family. They had to be on the Lamb's book. Not to say that there wasn't no devils that kept the Passover prior to that. I'm sure that there was. But they got weeded out sooner or later. And you're fixing to find out this cat named Judas, and that's Hellenization of the word Judah. And Judah sitting right there with a devil in him. He was one of these Edomite, Canaanite devils. His father, Simon, was a Canaanite. Well, that would have made Judas a Canaanite, or Judah a Canaanite. He was out of the house of the Canaanites. No wonder he was a devil. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judah Iscariot, Simon's son, and if you look up that word, Simon's father, or the father of Judas here, he said he was a Canaanite. Huh. Well, if his father's a Canaanite, duh, smell coffee here, ladies and gentlemen. The devil, a Canaanite devil, was sitting right there in the midst, ready to go and betray him. Now, let's see if he does.
He said, well, I know they eat the Passover meal right there.
It don't say that. And if you say it, you're lying. Watch it now, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you something here. If you betray the word, you betray the Father. Watch it now. Praise Yahweh. Don't go out of your way and betray the Father with his word. Just like Judas did. We've got a lot of Judases here among us. The Messiah, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went back to God. You say, well, where'd he go to? Well, went back. He came from the Spirit and went right back to the Spirit. He's a spirit being. But now he's in a flesh body after he rose it up. He rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you people that keep the Passover by the lunar calendar, that's the ones I'm speaking to. How many of you ever wash feet on the meal that you prepared to eat on the 15th day? How many of you? I don't know of anybody that does that. And if you do, then if you believe this, that this is where he ate the Passover meal, you better include that Passover meal, not on the 14th day, which is what this is. I'm going to prove it's on the 14th day. But you're not authorized to eat a meal until the 15th day, and that's the first day of unleavened bread. And that's the day he was talking to his disciples, and they were planning on going somewhere, and I told you where they went. They went back to a little city called Ephraim, and there they waited until the second Passover. They returned back to Jerusalem, where the crowd had dispersed. Now we got a small crowd, and there they nailed him on the 14th day, just like he said he would. Watch it now. Praise Yahweh. On the 14th day, they nailed him to a torture stake. Well, my heavens here. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Does anybody ever do that on the first day of unleavened bread? If you do, write me. Call me tonight. Won't you call me? I'll wait on your call after the program. You call me and show me where in the Bible that they washed feet on the first day of unleavened bread. It's not in the book of the rituals. And he said, see, do it according to the rituals. There's nowhere in the book of Exodus. There's nowhere in the book of Leviticus where the Passover is mentioned and instructed on how to keep it and what to do. Put up the lamb on the 14th day. Well, that's what they done. They put him up on the morning of the 15th day. They had him over in the court on the second Passover. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherein he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Yahweh, do you wash my feet? And the Messiah said unto him, what I will do to you now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never, never, never wash my feet. Now, how many people has ever washed feet on the 15th day or the first day of unleavened bread? If you do, call me tonight. I want to talk to you. I want to see who you are. Give me your name. And we'll see if you're keeping it like you teach it. and like you're trying to persuade people with your teaching that he did this on the 15th day. Now, we know it was night. We know that the first day of unleavened bread starts at night, not in the day. But we know in this case here, we're fixing to read that on the 15th day, then you keep unleavened bread for 7 days. Well, we know that his unleavened bread was off. He didn't eat no unleavened bread. He's cut off. He dies the next morning. Or he's jailed this night, this very night he's betrayed and put in jail and kept up until 9 o'clock where he appears before the Sanhedrin and the house of Pilate, the judgment hall, and he's condemned to die and he dies at 3 o'clock. He's nailed at 12 and died at the ninth hour at 3 o'clock. This is the whole chapter of what this says. But they'll pick out where he ate this meal and said it was the Passover meal. And that's an error. That is a complete lie. It's a fabrication. It's not true. And you shouldn't teach that. When you do, you're out of order. You're trying to place a piece that doesn't fit into the puzzle. You shouldn't attempt to do that. Now, you may be prospering right now, but you could be cut off. For teaching something that's not right, especially after you've been corrected. And so then, after he poured water into a basin, he began to wash their feet, and Peter said, "You ain't going to never wash my feet." Listen to what he said. And the Messiah said to him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now, where in the ritual conditions of the two chapters that I mentioned, Exodus 23 or Leviticus 23, where did that ritual of foot washing come in? Where does it mention that you had to do that? This is the first time foot washing is mentioned other than the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, where Abraham prepared basins and set the foot pans down for Yahweh and the three angels. This is where it came from. We know that Abraham offered a lamb, or was fixing to, and was stopped because it wasn't time, because Abraham wasn't Yahweh. He was a type and a shadow. And he was going to offer his only begotten son, which was Isaac, as a type and a shadow. And his hand was stayed by the angel when he was fixing to run the dagger to cut the throat of the lamb that he had there prepared. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here Yahweh is bringing this ritual, which we do on the 27th, that's on the 14th day of the evening of the 14th day, where the next day begins the 15th, which would be in that evening, where Yahweh's doing it right here in the 15th day. It's already dark now because the Bible says it was. So it would have been the 14th day that he instituted this ritual of foot washing, not on the first day of unleavened bread, but on the 14th of Passover. And we know that no Passover unleavened bread was eaten until the 15th day. He didn't die until 3 o'clock the next evening. This is the beginning of the day of the 14th, when he said, "Thou shalt never have no part with me." And Simon Peter said unto him, "Yahweh, not my feet only, but my hands and my feet." And the Messiah said unto him, "He that washed is washed." See, he'd already baptized them. It's a symbol of baptism, like the foot laver that they had in the assembly. But a lot of people that weren't worthy washed their feet, but that didn't make them clean. And Yahweh said, "Well, you all are washed, but you're not all clean. You are not all clean." So the foot pants went down to check the heart of somebody that was sitting there and was nothing but a devil. And Judas, the Canaanite, was a devil from the very beginning. Verse 11. for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. Do you think you do that on the 15th day when you eat the meal? I don't think so. We never do that because the Bible doesn't say to do that. So when do you do it? So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was sat down, he said unto them, know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then be your Lord and Master and have washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. Well, we do that. I don't know whether you do that or not. We do it on the 14th day. You see, that this is very confusing because, you see, in a biblical truth, the 14th day starts in the evening before the morning. Well, some people say it starts in the morning, but that's not true. You study it out and you'll find out. But I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Why do we keep it? Do we keep it on the 15th day? The day of the preparation meal? Of the meal that is deemed as the Passover meal, the first meal of unleavened bread. That's the first one you eat. This one right here was just to search for the leaven, and they found it. Ladies and gentlemen, be honest with me. How long would you want to wrestle against the truth? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. And neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you. I speak not of you. I know whom I have chosen. He knew who was true and who's blue and who was black and evil. I speak not of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, they had many of these meals. But this meal was sort of special because it was the night before his death the next day. Now, we find again the scriptures where it said, and then came the first day of unleavened bread, or the feast of unleavened bread. It doesn't matter where it was, whether you think it was as a word to get around it or not. You know the sequence that he was killed on the 14th day at 3 o'clock. I believe you'll acknowledge that, all of you that are taking issue with the second Passover, and that he was alive on the day of unleavened bread. That has to be the 15th. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know that the lambs was prepared by the Levitical priest. It had to be. You had to bring, each man had to bring a lamb for his family or his friends, and if the lamb was too big for one family, they could share it, and that's exactly what the scripture says. But here the Messiah would have never gone up and got his lamb early because they didn't start slaying the lambs until the 14th day in the daylight hours. They didn't slay it the night before. We know when they started slaying them, and we know when they quit. In one scripture, it said they slayed him right down till dark. Well, we know he came off the torture stake at 6 o'clock. Now, I tell you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Verse 21. And then the Messiah, when he had said this, was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now, was he betrayed after he ate the Passover? Or was he betrayed by eating the regular evening meal where they searched their homes for the leaven? Now, he's found some leaven here. You see, if it had been the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there shouldn't have been any leaven in anybody. But he's found some leaven in somebody here. Then the disciples looked one another, see, man, they began to examine themselves, doubting whom he spake. And now there was leaning on his bosom one of his disciples whom the Messiah loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask him who should it be of whom he spake. And then lying on his breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? And the Messiah said, It is to whom I shall give a sop. And when he had dipped, now remember, they'd already ate. And when he had dipped it, when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon the Canaanite. And after the sop, Satan, oh boy, better watch your sopping. You better not eat the meal too early. You might get a sop. And you might get the devil in your heart. Some of them's already got him. Then said the Messiah to him, What you do, do quickly. Boy, they'll do it. You just give them time. You just give them an opportunity and watch them. They'll take advantage. That's a snake. That's a serpent. They deal with you in darkness. They lash out at you when they can get a chance, when they claim they love you to your face. Now, no man at the table knew what it meant and that he spake unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that the Messiah said, Buy things that we have need of against the feast. That wasn't the feast. If it had been, why were they saying, well, he going out to buy things for the feast, as opposed to, no, that's what they thought. That's not what he went and done. But it mentions the feast here. It wasn't a feast. It says right here, it wasn't the feast of unleavened bread. Or that he should give something to the poor. And when he had received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, and I ask you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my strength, when did they nail him unto his torture stake? Was it not that they nailed him at 12 o'clock high? Was it not that he hang there in agony and despair? Was it not that all of his disciples fled because they were afraid of him? That's what the Bible said. And so then, he was killed at 3 o'clock. He died. He was nailed at 12, and he hanged there till 3, the ninth hour. The Bible tells you when he died, on the 14th day. Now, how could he be eating the Passover meal, which starts on the 15th? How could he be doing that if he was dead? What you're trying to do is say, no, he didn't really die. He ate the meal early, before he died. He did eat a meal, but it wasn't the Passover meal. He was the Passover meal for our spirit being. He was there at the same time they were slaughtering the lamb. You can't eat the meal until the lambs are slaughtered. And at the time they started slaughtering the lambs, they nailed him to a torture stake as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that's what happened there. And yet we got people that's trying to get around it, trying to force a piece of the puzzle that don't fit, and yet they will strive to force a piece of the puzzle into the puzzle and make it more puzzling for you so that they can keep their tradition, so that they can deny that they're not in a far journey. I know I'm in a far journey. I know I was unclean. I know I was unholy. I know I broke the law. And so then I had to have somebody to die for me. And I do believe he died for me while I was yet in my sins. And of course he died for these others that kick up their heel. But, you know, they're perfect. They've never made a mistake. It's always you that makes the mistake. See, that's a Pharisee. Boy, they'll come at you. They'll bring up everything that they can, past, present, or future, or make up a lot of junk to throw at you when they know themselves that they are sinners, saved, if they are saved, and sometimes I doubt they are. By their works you shall know them. By your fruits you shall know them. And so then, there we are. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, again. We are in a time of trouble such as the world has never known, and it's all because of the Passover. He is our Passover. Your lamb shall be, listen to this one now, your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now, a lot of people kill goats, and that is not what you're supposed to do. It's you take the sheep from the pasture field, whether it's by itself or whether it's among the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The 14th day. You should keep that lamb up until the 14th day. Now, remember, they didn't put them up until the 10th day. That corresponds to the time, if you read Joshua chapter 5, verse 19, you'll find that Christ, Yahshua, the little general that took over when Moses died, he took them in on the 10th day of the month. The lambs of Yahweh came home typifying and shadowing the Passover. And if he waited till that day, on the 10th day, to bring them across the river, that's the day they went. And then they went 4 days, and then they sacrificed their lambs. And that's what it says to do. And keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood. Now, at twilight, remember, look up the word twilight. That's between evenings. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike it down, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgments. I am Yahweh, and the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague shall befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this shall be a memorial unto you. And you shall celebrate it as a feast. Now when do we celebrate the Feast of Passover? On the 14th day? No. That's the day we kill the lambs. It's a work day. It's a slaughter day. We celebrate the Feast of Passover on the 15th day of unleavened bread. That's when we eat the Passover. We don't eat it on the 14th day, as some people have tried to say here. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you better watch. Your own words will condemn you. For Yahweh will smite, clean out the old leaven. That's what he was doing in the 13th chapter of the book of St. John, where they say he was eating the Passover meal. That is idiotic. That's a piece of the puzzle that won't fit, ladies and gentlemen. That just won't wash. It won't wash with me, and that's for sure. And it won't wash with a lot of other brothers and sisters that know the truth. Well, I've got to get out of here. My time has just drifted on out of here faster than I wanted to. But you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I'll be back tomorrow night at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. I'm glad to have y'all aboard. At their expense, they're paying this bill. It's a tremendous sacrifice for them. And I appreciate them paying our bill here. It helps us. It defrays the cost of what we have to send. Our radio bills every month runs a lot of money. We could use your help. If you've got enough of love of Yahweh, if you think we're not preaching the truth, don't send us a dime. We don't need you. Because you don't need us. But if you think we're preaching the truth, I'm reading it to you right out of the Bible. I hope I'm explaining it right and rightly dividing it, because it has to be rightly divided. I hope that you see the truth here. I hope that you have an anointing that you can grasp this. If you don't, you're lost. Pray for an anointing. I'm not right. The Word's right. And if I get right with the Word, just like the Messiah told His disciples down there, He said, one of you has got leaven in you. One of you ain't ready for the Passover. One of you's a devil. One of you's going to betray me. Well, we've still got them today. They'll betray you. Oh, they'll send these sweet little things to you that they love you, and they'll do all these wonderful things, and then when they get a lick at you, boy, you can see the devil jumping plumb through the fence. They'll tear the fence down to get to destroy you or to tear you down because they're jealous and envious and puffed up and full of flesh and carnality. Don't have the Spirit of Yahweh and don't even want it. Oh, they profess that they've got it with their mouth. But when it comes to the trials and the revelation and the tribulation that comes with it, when you preach the truth, you know, I could just be just like one of the guys and preach the first Passover. I got the revelation and I'm preaching it. Because Yahweh gave it to me, and He said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And when I come back, He said, I'll give a reward for them that love my appearing. Well, I love His appearing. I hope you do. And I'm sponsored by Mark and Audrey here tonight out of the great state of Mississippi. And again, we're glad to have you aboard. Now, I'll be back tomorrow night at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we will continue our truth segment on WWRB 3.185. Now, if you would like to write me, do this. Write Pastor Buddy. Say, Pastor Buddy, I believe that the second Passover is the one He died in. I want to remember it. I want to gain interest to the kingdom. I want to hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you rule over many. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something here. Yahweh is soon coming, and He's going to be coming on a cloud, and every eye shall see Him, even they which pierced Him. And ladies and gentlemen, it'll be a sad time. Just like Judas, just like the betrayers, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, they love the high seats. And when your doctrine don't match up to them, they're going to come against you. And they're going to hate you. Now, I have brothers that take issue with me, that don't hate me, that love me. And they hold me up and they pray for me. They don't put me down just because we have differences. And I appreciate those kind of people. But there are those, and you'll see them. They're serpent. And they'll expose themselves. They'll come out condemning, accusing. That's what they've done to the disciples. That's what they've done to the Messiah. Falsely accusing. Bringing everything that they could up out of your past, present, or future. Where that they could sling mud to tear you down. Not because you're preaching a false doctrine, but because you're preaching the Word. And you watch the devil. Every time he'll come against you, he'll come against that Word that you're preaching. That's how you know it's a devil. Praise Yahweh. Now, again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's, again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, zip 37824. You can call me tonight. I'm live around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, 423-626-2172. Yahweh bless you. I love you.